Joshua chapter 9. And of course, it's old-fashioned day. I mentioned in Sunday school, I wanted to come before they ever invented these ties. Obviously the ties were invented by a woman because no man would choke his fellow man. But anyway, so it is old-fashioned day. It is dinner on the grounds after the service. You please stay. There's plenty of food. Please stay. And we're going to be going to the fellowship hall, and there'll be time of food, fun, and fellowship. So don't miss that today at the service. And then if you're able to stay, 3 o'clock service, 3 o'clock service. So that'll get you out of here by four or so, plus or minus. And you'll have a good rest tonight. So I know that it's been back to back. Yesterday we had the harvest day at the Candlers, and apparently it was a wonderful. By the way, the pit was amazing with the sums. I thought that was great originality. That was great. Too bad we couldn't get the fire going. I think they're going to try again, try again tonight. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're here this morning, and brother, it is good to have you here. Any friends of April and family of April is welcome in this church. Any friends and family of Manny. Well, anyway, let's look in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 9. And before we do that, we're going to pray. We're going to have the group come up and sing this morning. I think it'll be a blessing, kind of with the theme of old fashioned day and so forth. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a special for you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, Lord, for your mercy. You're so good to us, and Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people, and Lord, what a great people you've given us here, and Lord, not perfect by no means, but certainly folks that love you and Lord want to do your will. Bless now the special that we're about to hear, and Lord, bless this time this morning here to follow as we preach from the Word of God, and Lord, just give us great service, and we'll thank you. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 8, if you're there, of course, in chapter 8, we have the battle with Ai. And remember in chapter 7, Joshua and the children of Israel went against Ai, and they failed. They lost many, 36 to be exact, 36 men. And they were chased out and so forth, And the reason is because they had not sought the Lord. They hadn't gone to the Lord and asked and inquired of him. And matter of fact, he wasn't asked for any input. In chapter 8, the Lord speaks to Joshua, and then there is that communication again. In chapter 7, Joshua made it right. He went to his face and went to the Lord at the end of chapter 7 and inquired of God. And of course, he told him about his sin and so forth. In chapter 8, they go back to Ai, and they won the battle. They defeated Ai. Of course, the Lord was with them, and that was last week. And then in chapter 9, the Gibeonites decided that they were going to try to join up with Joshua and Israel. Now, realize, Joshua and the children of Israel going westbound, and they've taken over Jericho. They've defeated Ai and so forth. And I mean, and it's been noised abroad what's going on. And in Joshua 9, look at verse number 3. And I'll tell you what, we'll read several, a lot of Bible to read. So I'll read fast if you listen fast. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 3, notice, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, notice the word was getting out, and they were scared to death. And now Gibeon was a pretty big city, but nonetheless, they were still afraid. And notice verse 4, they did work, the Gibeonites. Notice they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was, notice, dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua under the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now notice this. Now therefore make ye a league with us. They came up with a plan, and they said, the Gibeonites, if we dress up and we put on old clothes and old rags, and we're going to dress up as if we've traveled for weeks and for months, and we're going to show up there at Gilgal with the Joshua, and that we're going to go as ambassadors, and we're going to request that they team up with us. Look at verse number 15 for the sake of time. Notice, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Now, notice, so they joined up with the Gibeonites, thinking that they were far, far, far away. But as a result, they weren't far away. They were neighbors. They were about 3 days out. But they joined up with them. Look at verse number 16. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after that they had made a league with them. Notice, 3 days after that, they heard that they were neighbors and that they dwelled among them. Wow. So notice, Joshua had made peace with these people that he was supposed to take down. Joshua made peace with the Gibeonites that they were supposed to destroy and so forth. How did that happen? Well, look at verse number 14. Joshua 9, verse 14. And the man took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Here we have another example. Of course, we saw it in Joshua 7 at the defeat of Ai. They got the victory in chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, they team up with people they have no business teaming up with. Why? Because they never went to counsel with the Lord. They never went to God to ask God, hey, should we do this or not? So they didn't go to the Lord again. Notice verse 14. And the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't go to God in prayer. They didn't ask him. It didn't matter what God said. Oh, that's a truth right there. God has given us what he has said. It's in this book, in this Bible. And we ought to heed it. We ought to read it. We ought to study it. We ought to apply it. And we got situations. We ought to go to it. If you've been here for the last several months, we have taken the Bible and we have applied it, and the counsel of the Lord. But they came then, they dressed up with old clothes, they came with a plan, they came as ambassadors from far away. They came to Joshua, hey, we want peace with you, we want to team up with you. And Joshua and the Israelites never went to the Lord, and as a result, they gave them their word, they joined up with them. And Joshua had to spare them because they had made peace with them and made a league with them and had given them their word. You with me? Now, in chapter 10, let's go ahead and skip there. In chapter 10, again, the word is getting out. How the Lord is with Joshua and with the Israelites, with Israel. And in Joshua chapter 10, once the Amorites had heard how Joshua had taken, they'd taken Jericho, they'd taken Ai. Now the Gibeonites have made peace with them. So all of a sudden they decided that, we need to do something before they get any bigger, before they get any stronger. Look at Joshua 10 verse 5. Joshua 10 verse 5. Notice, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Ebron, the king of Jarmuth, Lachish, Eglon, notice, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon. And made war against it. So the Amorites, all of a sudden, they said, well, if Gibeon has joined with Joshua, let's go after them. And they go and they surround Gibeon. And the men of Gibeon, verse 6, notice, sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So notice, they sent Joshua a request and said, hey, we are surrounded. The Amorites are coming against us. Remember, we joined up with you. We're supposed to be teams. We made peace. And now they're attacking us. Look at verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. Notice, they seek the Lord. They go to God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, you know what? When you're going to do something and you've got God behind you and you've got God instructing you and giving you instructions, that puts a little bit of confidence behind you, doesn't it? That puts a little bit of strength. And that's what he said. The Lord, he told him, he said, hey, you don't need to fear. All of them, they're going to fall at your hand, and I've delivered them under your hand, and not one of them will be standing. Look at verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord, notice, discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Betharon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down, look at verse, continued to Betharon, that the Lord, notice, cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. Notice what it says, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God took care of more of them than Israel had to take care of. He slew them with great hailstones that he sent down. Look at verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now notice here the communication. You know, pretty simple. And that's a little bit of the message. And that's been the message for the last several chapters because we've seen that. You know what? When you talk to God and when you go to God, things work out pretty good. When you go to the Bible and you seek the Bible and you counsel with the Bible and you counsel with God, you know, things work out pretty good. When you don't, things don't work out as good, do they? And that's what's happening here. So here Joshua goes to the Lord, verse number 12. And notice then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. Notice, and he said, notice, in the sight of all Israel. He said it before Israel. He made this statement. He said this. He asked, he said, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. So notice he asked for the sun to stand still and for the moon to not move. And look at verse number 13. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Interesting. So here we see that Joshua asked. Of course, if you go into battle, you know, anytime that... when we went to Iraq and when we went into Afghanistan, you always wait for number one, you wait for evening, you wait for nighttime, and number two, you wait for where the moon is not out. You know, you go out in a full moon and you can see pretty good. And so here, of course, and you battle at night because you're able to see. Now, in those days, they didn't have the night vision goggles. They didn't have the imaging and all that, so they couldn't do that, so they fought during the day. So Joshua and Israel was beating them during the day, but guess what? The sun was going down. And what happened was, obviously, they weren't able to fight them as aggressively or fight them as successful with the sun down because they couldn't see them. So Joshua went to the Lord, and he asked the Lord, hey, sun, stand still. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Why? So that they could continue to fight, so they can continue to avenge themselves upon their enemies. And the Bible says that sun stood still and in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. That's an amazing thing. When has that happened since you and I have been here? Now, it happened in a movie, I think. But it hasn't happened in real life. But guess what happened in real life for Joshua? And look at verse number 14 and notice what the Bible says. And there was no day like that before it or after it. That the Lord, notice, what's the next word? Hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua asked the Lord before Israel, before all the people, for the sun to stand still and for the moon to stand still. And guess what? It did. It stopped. It froze right there in time. And what a great day for Joshua. What a great day for the Israelites. What a terrible day for the Amorites and those that were in battle. You know, man, you imagine they're there sitting in a foxhole and they say, hey, you know, boy, that sun's got to go down sometime. Boy, it better go down real quick because we're losing ground. But it didn't. It didn't. And here's the whole thing. And here's the victory comes when the Lord is with you and when the Lord fights with you. Victory comes when the Lord is with you and when the Lord fights with you. In verse number 8, notice it's Lord. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Wow, that's pretty good. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way. Look at verse number 11, last part of 11. God sends the great stones from heaven unto them, and they that died, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. What happens? That when God fights with you and when the Lord is with you, guess what? You get a lot of victory. Look at verse 14. And there was no day like it, that before it or after, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Here's the question this morning, and I'm going to give you four things, and we're going to be done. Five things. How do you get the Lord to hearken unto the voice of man? How do you get the Lord to listen to you? How do you get the Lord to hearken unto you? Hey, this is not only did he listen to Joshua, but he did what Joshua asked him, which is an incredible thing for the sun to stand still and for the moon to stand. By the way, do you believe that? If you believe Genesis 1:1, then you need to believe that. If you're saved and you believe that Christ died for your sins, you certainly need to believe that. Otherwise, that'd throw all of it away. But there wasn't a day before it or a day after it that the Lord hearkened or listened to the voice of man. And the Bible says, for the Lord fought Israel. How do you get the Lord to hearken unto the voice of man? How do you get God to answer your prayers? I'm going to give you just some quick five observations, and we're going to go. Number one, you must ask. You must ask. In verse number 12, notice, then spake Joshua to the Lord. Joshua went to the Lord and spake with the Lord. And you know what? If we ever want our prayers to get answered, you know what the first thing that we need to do? Pretty simple. We need to ask. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. We have not because we ask not. We must go to the Lord in prayer. The times that Joshua and Israel sought the Lord, the time that Joshua and Israel went to pray to the Lord, guess what? They got the victory. The times when they went to God and inquired of God, they got the victory. The times that they didn't go to God and the times that they didn't inquire of God, guess what? They didn't get the victory. They lost and they blew it just like they did when they teamed up with the Gibeonites. Chapter 9, just the same way that when they lost to Ai, they hadn't gone to the Lord. If they would have gone to the Lord, they wouldn't have done it. They would have gotten the victory right off the bat. The Lord makes all the difference in the world, and the Lord will make all the difference in your world. If we're ever going to get our prayers answered, then guess what? We've got to ask. We've got to ask. We ask not, we have not because we ask not. Secondly, pretty simple, but your request must be for a good cause. If you want your prayers to be answered, then guess what? Number one, you've got to pray. Number two, you've got to pray for a good cause, for a good purpose. You shouldn't pray out of selfishness. You shouldn't pray out of greed or out of ulterior motive. Well, you know, what am I going to get out of it? You with me? You need to pray for a good cause. They were fighting against the aggressors, and in chapter 10, we read it, verse 1 through 5, they came to Gibeon, the Amorites came to Gibeon. Why? Because they were afraid. They were the aggressors, and they were coming to the Gibeon. And they were coming to smite Gibeon and then Israel. Why? Because the Gibeonites had joined up with Israel. So they prayed, and Joshua prayed and asked for the day for the sun to stand still and for the moon to stand still. Why? So that they could avenge themselves from their enemies and so forth. So, you know, many times our prayers are selfish. They're for us. Lord, give me this or give me that. And they're to benefit us. And no matter who else could be hurt as a result of it. You know, when we want we were in Sunday school. We were talking about being merciful. We were talking about being meek. And we were talking about all the beatitudes. And sometimes when somebody does us wrong, we want to hurt them, or we want them to be hurt, or we want them to suffer. And the thing is that we need to understand that if they're hurt, if they suffer, you know, it's a whole bunch of people down the line that are going to suffer that don't merit it. So when we pray, we need to pray for the benefit for a good cause, for a good purpose, not just for our selfishness. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God's not going to answer your prayer if it's not for good. If it's going to hurt someone, you know, then God's not going to answer. Why? Because all things work together for good. If it's going to hurt someone or if it's going to hurt you, guess what? He's not going to answer it. If it's not going to help you, God's not going to answer your prayer. Why would he answer you? Why would he give you something that's going to hurt yourself? So guess what? When we pray, number one, you've got to ask. If you want your prayers answered, you've got to ask. You've got to go to the Lord in prayer. But secondly, your request must be for a good cause, for a good purpose. Otherwise, he's not going to answer it. I mentioned this. Of course, I love guns. I have guns. I hate cats. The two don't work together, but this is recorded and it's on the internet. So I'm pet friendly, people friendly. But you know what? My children, can we see it? We got to be very careful. And I'm not going to give my child a weapon. You don't buy them a gun at the age of 6. Why? Because they'll hurt themselves. You don't let them play with knives or matches. Why? Because they're going to hurt themselves and hurt you. You with me? So the same way that we don't give our children something that's going to hurt them or somebody that's going to hurt us or hurt somebody else. God's not going to give us something that's not going to answer our prayer that's going to hurt us. You with me? I don't know how long I've prayed for $1 million. It's not going to happen. And I'm teasing, but you know what I'm saying, you know. And so God's not going to give us something that's going to hurt us. When we pray, we need to ask. And second, our request needs to be for good. When Joshua went to God and he asked for the sun to stand still and for the moon to stand still, it was for a good purpose. It was to avenge himself in Israel and the Gibeonites from those that were coming and attacking him, those that were they're wanting to take over. Are you with me? Thirdly, number one, you must ask. Number two, your request must be for a good cause. Number three, which goes with it, it must be God's will. It must be God's will, according to God's will. And that's why when we pray, we ought to pray according to God's will. What is God's will in the matter? God has a lot that he wants to do for us. He's got a lot that he wants to give us and a lot that he wants to do with us and wants to do for us. Prayers that he wants to answer. You with me? Situations that he wants to get us out of, muscles that he wants to flex, muscles that he wants to show. We see it in creation. We see it in the firmament showing his handiwork, and we see what God can do, and we see what God would like to do, and we can see it when we go to him in prayer. There's a lot that he wants to do, and there's a lot that he wants to happen in your life and in my life, but he's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to say, Lord, can we do this or can we have this or can you do this for so-and-so? He wants somebody to ask because he wants to do it. He wants to receive that glory. God has a great big plan for you and I and for the whole world. But guess what? We must pray according to it. Okay. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because he's got a will for us. So guess what? When we pray, we want our prayers to be answered, we need to ask. We want our prayers to be answered, it needs to be for a good cause. Not selfishness, not out of ulterior motive. We want our prayers to be answered, and guess what? It must be according to God's will. If God wants to do it, you with me? Then guess what? If we ask him, he's going to do it. And we, you know, with our children, you know, they'll come and they'll ask to do something that is not... that it's not good, it's not expedient, or something. We'll say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Our son, children come and says, hey, Dad, can we do this? And it's a good idea. We say, sure, let's do it. That's a good idea. And it's the same thing with God. When we pray, we need to ask, and we need to ask for a good cause, and it must be in God's will. God's will. For God to answer, you must ask. It must be good for good. It must be according to God's will. Number four, then if you've asked and it's for good and it's according to his will, then guess what? Then he'll answer you. Then God will hearken unto you the same way that he did for Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 10. Quickly, we're almost done. Joshua chapter 10. Look at verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And the Bible says in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Notice, the Lord hearkened. God answered Joshua and the Bible says that like no way before and no way after that he hearkened to the voice of man. God answered Joshua. And you know what? God will answer you and me. But we must ask, and it must be for good, and it must be in God's will. God will answer. And not only will he answer, you know, I was looking at the prayer request. I put them in my office this morning in Sunday school, and I take those and I pray for the people. But you know, God will answer those prayer requests, but we've got to ask, and it's got to be for a good cause, and it's got to be in God's will. He's got a will. He's got a purpose. He's got timing. He's got a calendar. But not only will God answer it, but here's the thing. Here's the great thing. That he'll go above and beyond the call of duty a lot of the times. If he has to or if he needs to. The Bible says in verse 14, not a day. There was no day like that before it or after it. God went above the call of duty, above what Joshua requested. And for Joshua and for the Israelites, you know what? And he can do that if he so desires. He can do that for you and I. He can heal. He can provide financial need. He can provide this or provide that. He can help in here and help that. And he can go. God can exceed your expectations. Do you believe that or not? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things that what? That thou knowest not. What is he saying? He says God can answer you above your expectations, above what you can expect, and above what you even think of, above which that which you know God can exceed and may exceed your expectations. I thought about this. Let me give you three quick examples. I thought when Jesus, you remember the story of Lazarus, and he was dead, and he was in the tomb, and Mary and Martha were crying, and Jesus told them, Lazarus will resurrect. He's not dead. He'll come back to life again. And Mary and Martha said, oh, yes, Lord, I know. In the day of the resurrection, I know that. He said, no. You don't understand. We can go above and beyond that. He can live right now. And he went, remember, he rolled the stone, and they took the stone away. And he said, Lord, he stinketh. That's not a problem for Jesus. Jesus called out his name, and Lazarus resurrected from the dead, and he walked out. And guess what? He exceeded all expectations. I thought about in Acts chapter 3. You remember Peter and John going to the temple, and they find a beggar there at the gate of the temple. And the man had, he'd been lame from his birth, from his mother's womb. He'd been lame. He's there sitting, asking for alms, asking for money, asking for anything. And guess what? Peter and John come along, and guess what? God exceeds all his expectations. The guy's sitting there with a cup or a plate and asking for money. He sees Peter and John. They look at him, and he says, well, this is great. They're going to listen to me. They're going to give me something, and they're going to give me some good money, and he just can't wait. And you know what? He got above and beyond what he was expecting. Peter said on him, silver and gold have I none. The layman must have said, wow, here's another religious Pharisee. Silver and gold have I none. Maybe he'll just bless me. And it was different. He told him to arise and get up, and they put him on his feet. And guess what? He got more than what he expected. Why? Because when you go to God, guess what? You got to ask, and it's got to be for good cause. It's got to be in God's will. And if you do that, guess what? God will hearken unto you. He'll listen to your voice. And not only that, he'll give you more than what you even bargained for. Like he did for Lazarus, like he did for the lame man sitting there at the gate. I thought about Jonah. You remember in Jonah, they tossed him overboard, and of course, a great big fish, a whale, swallowed him up, and Jonah was stuck in the belly of a whale. And in chapter 2 of Jonah, Jonah prayed. And the Bible says that he prayed, and he prayed himself out of the fish's belly. But here's an interesting thing. He's stuck in the belly of the whale, and he's praying, and he thought, you know what, man, if I get out of this fish, you know what, I'm going to have to swim. I'm going to have to swim for a long time. He thought he would probably have to swim forever. He thought he would probably have to die. But anything was better than being in the belly of a whale. And anything's always better than what you're going through, isn't it? Anything's always better than what you're facing. He thought the fire was going to be better than the frying pan which he was frying in. And anything's always better than what you're going through, no matter how bad the alternative. The grass is always greener. But the Lord exceeded Jonah's expectations. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. In verse 10 it says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. What's that all about? What are the chances of being vomited, a whale being vomiting Jonah on the dry ground? I'll tell you what happened. The Lord exceeded his expectations. The Lord will exceed your expectations. But you must ask. It must be for a good cause. It must be in the will of God. And according to the will of God. And God will answer you, and he will exceed your expectations. Last but not least, listen to this, because that answered prayer that God gives you will bring glory to God and not to you. See, God wants the glory. God wants the glory. He doesn't want you to have the glory. You know, I've met people and good people. I prayed for this good weather, or I prayed for this and I prayed for that, and that's wonderful. You ought to, but it's not for your glory. It's for the glory of God. It wasn't, you know, we've got to be careful. Do you want the glory or do you want God to get the glory? They were all amazed at what had taken place. The Amorites couldn't believe that that sun had stood still. They said, when's that sun going to go down? When's that moon going to hide behind the clouds or behind the darkness? When's this going to happen? And they couldn't believe it. The children of Israel couldn't believe it. Wow, we still got light. Let's chase them. Let's get them while they're down. You know, we read it today. We read it in the Bible today, and we still find it hard to believe. No doubt they're still talking about it in heaven. Hey, you remember that day when the sun stood still and the moon? Wow. Did you see what the Lord did for Joshua and for the children of Israel? You know, the Bible is full of what God has done and what God can do for you and for me. Full of it. But guess what? We must ask him. We must ask him. Look at verse 41. Joshua 10 verse 41 and we'll close. The Bible says, and Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea unto the Gaza and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. Notice all that took place was because the Lord God, I guess what, fought for Israel. Fought for Israel. God was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel, and it was pretty evident. Why? Because that sun stood still and the moon stood still, didn't move. It was all the Lord. It was for the glory of God. It was for God to get the glory, not for Joshua to get the glory. Hey, look what I did. I prayed and I asked. No. It was for God to get the glory. It's a great thing. It's a great thing when the Lord hearkens unto your prayer and the Lord hears you and answers your prayer. It's a great thing when the Lord fights for you. It's a great thing when you go to the Lord and you ask of him and it's for good and it's according to his will and he answers your prayer and he exceeds all your expectation. It's a great thing, but it's not for your glory. It's for the glory of God. And that's what happened here in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter number 10. And you know what? That's what can happen for you and for me, but you've got to ask. It's got to be for good cause. It's got to be according to his will. And he'll answer your prayer, and he'll exceed your expectations, all for the glory of God. I could tell you story after story after story. I'll share this with you, and it wasn't in my notes, but I just thought of it. I remember when I was in Korea, I was taking my PIC ride, my pilot in command check ride. I think I've told you this story before. And I had done all the maneuvers. I had done my instrument. I had done approaches. I had done everything. And I had one thing to do, and that was a pinnacle landing. A pinnacle landing is when you land on a mountaintop. It's a very small area of landing. And the instructor said, hey, this is your last maneuver, so you can, you know, you'll probably pass this, and we'll give you the command of pilot in command and so forth. And I remember I made that approach, and you know the story. I came to that approach, and boy, I landed on that pinnacle. And when I dropped the collective to put that aircraft down, that instructor took those controls, and yanked that aircraft out of there. I was shocked. I looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You didn't see that? You didn't feel that?" He said, "No." He said, "Your skids were not completely on that pinnacle. If you would have let that collective down, that the weight of the aircraft would have rocked that helicopter, and we wouldn't have been able to recover it." I said, "Wow, what are you talking about?" He said, "That's what took place." I said, "Well, let me give me the controls. Let me take it around. Let me do it one more time." He says, "I can't do that." I mean, he was white. I can't do that. I wasn't white because I didn't know what was going on. And we went back home, and boy, I was crushed. And you know, of course, and all that time going to the Lord and in prayer, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And I looked at that, and I went to the Lord, and God took that mishap or that failure, and God exceeded all my expectations. You know, when we go to God, you know, when you take those prayers to God and you ask him and it's for good cause and it's for in the will of God, and he'll answer those prayers and he'll exceed all your expectations, what you ever expected. But it's not for you. It's not for me. It wasn't because of me. It was because of God, for God to get the glory. And that's how he'll do it. For Joshua and Israel, the sun stood still all day The moon stood in the Valley of Ajalon. For what purpose? For the glory of God. It wasn't for the glory of Israel. It wasn't for the glory of Joshua. It was for the glory of God. God did a great thing, and God can do a great thing with you. But we must ask. It must be for good cause. It must be according to his will. And the Lord will listen to you, will hearken unto you, and will exceed your expectations. But not, man, you know, I prayed, and, you know, whatever. It's not for your glory, Mr. Religious, spiritual giant. It's for the glory of God. That's why he'll do it. Father, I pray you bless this morning. Lord, help us realize this, that Lord, that the same God that served Joshua is the same God that we have today. The God of Joshua is our God. And Lord, you're there and you're wanting to flex and you're wanting to show your muscle and you're wanting to show all that you can do, not for our glory, but for your glory. And all your weightiness for us to ask. All your weightiness for us to go to you in prayer, to ask you for a good cause, for according to your will. And Lord, you want to answer. Not only do you want to answer us, but you want to exceed all our expectations, as you've done so many times in the Bible. So Lord, this morning, help us to realize that, Lord, you want to help us and you want to be there for us and you want to answer our prayer. You want to show us great and mighty things which we know not. But we must come to you. We must approach you. And so, Lord, help us this morning. Help us to, the victory that Joshua and the Israelites had is victories that, that we can have today. But we've got to ask. We must ask. Lord, there's one here this morning and they're not saved. They don't know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die. Lord, they must ask. They've got to ask. And they may be expecting salvation to be this or that, but Lord, you're going to exceed all their expectations if they've never trusted you as Savior. Lord, perhaps we've got folks here that that have issues or have problems or concerns or maybe ailments, maybe sickness, and Lord, maybe you're waiting for them to ask. Maybe you're waiting for them to ask for good cause or according to your will. But Lord, you want to answer them. You want to flex and you want to exceed their expectations. So Lord, help us to come to you. Help us to realize that you are there for us and available for us if we just come to you. So Lord, help us come to you this morning, whether it be for salvation, whether it be for personal issues or problems, whether it be for struggles, whatever it may be. Lord, may we come to you this morning and seek your face and seek your will. I pray that you bless. Work an invitation now, I beg you, in Jesus' name.